Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to start from verse number 10. Hebrews 5 and verse number 10. We're just going to read through a text first and then we'll pray. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. That's not a good way for your preacher to start, is it? So you guys are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's just pray. Father, as we open your word, we pray that you'd enable us by your spirit. We pray that you'd quicken our minds. And Lord, we want to be people who are not dull of hearing, but people who are discerning by your word and through your word, Lord, that we might make wise decisions and choices and be led of God. And we want to be a people who you have liberty to work in and through. So we pray you'd work in us this evening. And Lord, again, we pray for the ministry back at Crossroads tonight and ask your blessings on the ministry there as well. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we were traveling up here this afternoon, your pastor was sharing with us a little bit about the history of Atherton and how that there was gold found a little bit further north and a little bit further south, and so that Mr. Atherton came to bring some beef, and that was his industry as he began to, well, he found his niche there among the gold diggers. We're going to be looking at the subject this evening of alluvial gold. I thought that was pretty interesting that he started talking about that as we were going up the hill there. So you're really gold people, and gold has structured our nation, and certainly this place is a little bit of a testimony to that. Gold has been found throughout the world. Gold is one of those things. Apparently, they say there is 3 parts per billion of the Earth's outer layer is gold. 3 parts per billion. That's not a lot. And hence, it is of great value. Not only does it look pretty sweet, but it's has many different purposes that they'll use it for. If you're to carry around a liter of milk, that's going to weigh around about a kilo. If you carry around a liter of gold, that'll be maybe like 19 kilos. Pretty heavy. So I'm going to have a look when I get back to Pastor's place and see if my wife's suitcase is loaded full of gold, because it certainly feels like it. It was pretty heavy. But gold is pretty heavy. They reckon that when... What's his name here? Let me find his name. Tutankhamun died. He was mummified, and he was partly covered with gold. And when they dug him up 3,000 years later, he was still glowing. Well, at least his gold was. The gold was still shining. And gold just has that quality, doesn't it, to bring a luster and something of great interest and certainly of great value. King Solomon wasn't the only guy to go looking for gold throughout time, was he? Many different people have gone gold hunting. Christopher Columbus, when he stumbled across America, was, they say, in pursuit of gold. And so gold is something that's been pursued from time immemorial, right back from the beginning of Bible times. Of course, if you stumble across the end of a rainbow, you're going to find yourself a pot of gold, aren't you? If you find the elusive goose, you just might find yourself a golden egg. If you get that goose, don't sell him, by the way. You want to keep him. Her. Thank you. Thank you. If it's a him, trade him. Sell that one. That's not the right one. I understand. If you have gold nuggets, they come from more solidified gold. But probably the pieces you're going to find more readily will be the gold dust. And gold dust is often found in lighter soil. It may be found in the riverbeds and different places like that. And so maybe you've seen pictures or even been some places where you can go gold panning. We've been down near Ballarat in Victoria, where the gold rush was down there, and they still have a creek bed down there, and they actually drop a little bit of gold dust in there. Probably each piece of dust is worth a dollar, and you go and you spend $20 or whatever it is to go and pan it out. And they give you a little vial with a bit of gold dust in it, and that's pretty exciting for you to go and do some of your own gold panning. You can pan the soil because the gold dust may be found in the light soil. And as you wash it through the riverbed, you can find little bits of gold. And so when gold was originally found in different places, in Ballarat and Bendigo, the national population went from about a third of a million to over a million in not a huge span of time. People came from all over the world to Australia looking for gold. Why do you think we have Chinese restaurants everywhere through our country? That's because of the gold rushes that came. And the Chinese that came over in those times. So, but most of what came in the initial stages of the gold rush, people got there, and in a couple of years, they'd found great quantities of gold, but it was the easy-to-find gold. It was the alluvial gold. It was the gold dust. It was the little bits that are found with casual looking. And I'd like to suggest to you tonight that we're a bit like those people who went to the gold rush. Maybe you remember the time when you got saved, and you opened up your Bible and you found a little bit of gold dust sprinkled through there. And gold dust is precious. And there's precious truths that we find through the Scriptures. And if you find a little bit, it just gives you an incentive to go a little bit further, doesn't it? But they say that within just a couple of years of these gold rushes, most of the gold that was found there was found, and people were gone, and it started to die down. And people died out, and they grew careless and indifferent, and they stopped looking. And you know, it's a sad reality, but many times Christians who just got enamored with a little bit of gold dust settle for just the alluvial gold. We don't go on to get serious with our search in the Scriptures for the real treasures that are to be had there. There's so much more there. The difference, as it tells us here in Hebrews chapter 5, is the difference between a good solid steak and just some milk. Now, this is beef country. We don't want just milk. Now, milk is all right. The Bible is referred to as milk, and as babes, we should desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, I believe up here you get sauerkraut for the babies, but the Scripture speaks about milk for the babies, and I reckon some babies are just getting ripped off. But as you grow up, you want to grow further, and you want to get into steaks, don't you? Get into the real deal. Get into something real. Now, I want you to notice what it says here. In these passages, in verse number 11, it says, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the doctrine of Christ, of the oracles of God. You become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So he's saying it's okay for babies to be fed with milk. That's all right, or sauerkraut. It's okay for them to get the basics. But when you grow up, it's no longer okay. We don't want to stay where we began. There should be growth in our lives. So if you've been saved 6 months, if you've been saved a year, and you're enjoying your milk, that's good. You should be. It's enjoyable. It's appropriate. It never loses the benefit. I still like milk. A lot of people around don't drink too much milk. Well, put something in it and enjoy it. Milk's good. Maybe iced coffee or something. Just enjoy some milk. Milk is good, but it's not enough to go out and to work on, is it? It's not enough to strengthen you and give you all the goodies that you need. No, these people failed to grow. If we were to liken them to gold diggers, they're the guys that go out there and they get a bit of alluvial gold, the easy found stuff, the light stuff, the stuff that is sweet, but it's really not going to change your life. You know, you dig down there and take it away in your little vial with a little bit of gold dust, and you go, whoopee, look what I got. Well, that's exciting. I think it's exciting. If somebody gave it to me, I would put that in my drawer and throw my socks on top of it. I mean, wouldn't. And that's what our Christianity becomes. And that excitement of a moment gets thrown in the drawer and we lose it. And sadly, Christianity becomes old hat. And after we've been there a couple of years, like many of the gold diggers, it's too much effort for too little value. Or we could go a little bit deeper. Verse 13. It's getting that way. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Now notice it doesn't say he's a new believer. He's somebody who's been a believer for a while, should be past that stage, but he's still a babe. He is unskillful in the word of righteousness. And we need to ask ourselves, am I competent with my Bible? It's a challenge, because then somebody's going to come up and ask you a difficult question and you're going to prove that you're not as competent as you thought you were. But can you testify of your faith? Can you answer the general questions? You know, you can do your street outreach and everything, and people ask all the weird and crazy questions, and there's always something new, but most times it comes back to a few different angles that people come from, doesn't it? And we need to know our Bibles well enough to give an account for those things. And if we haven't got to that stage, we're gold dust Christians, alluvial gold Christians. You're settling for just a little bit of easy found gold dust. You know, in 1869, there was the biggest gold nugget that was ever found down in Victoria. You say, how big is the biggest gold nugget that they ever found? A kilo? Wouldn't you like a full 1 kilo of gold? No, it wasn't a kilo. What about 10 kilos? No, in fact, it was 71 kilos of gold. Now, you're not going to throw that in your drawer and put the socks on top. Now, we've just found a life changer, haven't we? You get into something like that, and you are not going to be the same anymore. I mean, you're going to be one of those guys that buys a brand new Corvette and drives it into a power pole next week or something like that. It'll change your life. Hopefully, it won't ruin your life. But that is a life changer. And so they called it the welcome stranger. And it makes me think of what's hiding inside these covers. The welcome stranger is in there. He's the greatest gold nugget there is. The Lord Jesus Christ is just waiting for you to dig him out. If we as God's people got inside these covers, we may find treasures that we never understood before, that we never saw before. In fact, they tell us that the gold that's in the gold dust, that's minimal. But if you go down inside the rocks of the earth, you get, well, it occurred back probably during the flood when there was all kinds of volcanic activity and everything down there was molten in these areas. And the molten gold rose to the surface in what was fluid. And then it was through the heat and the pressure there, it was pressed out into the cracks and crevices of the rock. So when you find this kind of gold, it's often solid gold. It's often found with other stuff around it that's not that dissimilar. But if you're to find a little bit of this gold, you can start digging and you get to a gold portion. And as it follows in, where it was squeezed right through in liquid form into these cracks, you actually have a vein of gold. That started me thinking, have you ever come across a gold vein in your Bible? You know, sometimes I'm preparing for a message, and I try not to prepare a message in a given sitting, because you start something and you go, I know there's a vein there. There's more than I can see at the moment. I've got out everything that I can today, but I've got to sleep on that and pray on that and study on that and look around a little bit further. You know, it's not good enough for me to just say, all right, well, I'll get out the old gold pan and get something off the surface for the people tonight. You see, I've got to get the pick and the shovel out and start digging and follow the vein. And as you follow the vein, sometimes it brings you to whole new riches that you can't even comprehend. Have you found a gold vein in your Bible? You need to look for one. Because when you start digging, it just is enriching in itself. Isn't that right, Pastor? And you, as you progress through and you keep digging and there's more and there's more. And you say, I didn't even know this was there, and I've read it 1,000 times. And there's more and more. I was preaching through Revelation, and there were passages that I've read dozens and dozens of times, 100 times. And I read over them, and I went, how did I never see this before? And it wasn't just a nugget. It was a whole gold vein. And it led me right through into new truths that I'd never seen before. That's growth. That's riches. That's meat. In verse number 14, we read that strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know what he's really saying is that the alluvial gold dust miners don't use their Bibles like they should. We're contented way too easily. We're happy to come to church and let Pastor do a bit of digging, sprinkle a little bit of gold dust for us, and take that home. But we're not going to get in there and go, you know what? I'm going to do a little bit of study on this subject. This subject that Pastor opened up. But I think he started digging a hole there, and I can see a little glimmer of gold. And you know what? I wouldn't mind betting that just underneath that bit, I'm not going to tell anybody about it yet. I'm going to stake my claim. I'm going to go and have a look. And I'm going to do some serious digging. Do you know what happens when you start digging, when you start finding? If you're digging gold, what's going to happen? Well, they say in 1823, James McBrien found traces of gold out near Bathurst, and the authorities hushed him up. They feared that the convicts, the soldiers, and the public servants would stop their work and go and hunt for gold. Some ore was found out at Cox's River in 1841. In 1851, Edward Hargraves came and he found gold out near Bathurst. It was actually an area north of Orange there. They called it Ophir after the gold fields that Solomon had found gold in. And Bathurst became the center of a gold rush. When in 1841, Reverend Clark found a gold nugget in the Blue Mountains, he was told this by Governor Gipps, "Put it away, Mr. Clark, or we shall have our throats cut." They say you didn't even have to tell anybody. All you had to do was walk into town. And people could tell that you'd found gold. Oh, they'd be out following you. They would get out to where you were digging. They knew it was happening. Who told them? Nobody. They can see it on your face. By reason of use, we have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And you know what? People should be able to tell. It should be catchy. If you're enjoying your Bible, somebody else is going to start looking over your shoulder going, "What's he finding down there? I'm sure there's something I want to find out about. I want to go where he's going. I want to drink what he's drinking. I want whatever he's got because it's doing the right thing." That's gold. That's the real deal. That's what you want. Of course, Australia was built on the back of the diggers. You know, we sent them to war, our diggers. Why did we call them diggers? Because they came straight from the gold fields. Because Australia, they reached into the useless areas. The places you wouldn't go. You know what? Up into the tablelands because of gold. Kalgoorlie. Nobody would go to Kalgoorlie. 600 kilometres east of Perth, in across nothing. And Kalgoorlie became the richest square mile in the world. They dug from the top down, and then they just kept on going down. And you can go an awful long down, a long way down in the mines in Kalgoorlie-Coolgardie. They are producing one of the greatest production of the world here from Australia. Australia has, I believe, the second largest production of gold in the world, 288 tons of gold produced in a year. That's a lot of gold. They say it is $18.5 billion worth of gold because they got serious about digging. Has use given you good exercise in discernment? Are you getting into the meat, or are you contented, too easily contented with a little bit of gold dust? Gold dust tantalizes, but it wears thin. If you get down to the real deal, that'll encourage you to keep going forwards. Can I encourage you tonight? Get your pick and shovel and start digging for real. Determine before God, I'm not happy to sit around with a bit of gold dust. I want to find a vein to follow. I want to study a subject out completely in the Bible. I want to learn some things that are going to be life changers in my Bible. And let God enlarge me and make me something better than what I otherwise could be.